to bring this meeting back to order at 7:56, please. Next item on our agenda will be the consent agenda. We have approval of bills in the amount of $276,994.79. Approval of payroll in the amount of $504,684.14. Approval of the council minutes for January the 25th, 2016. Resolution 1681-16, surplus of PW equipment. Number 5, project completion for the exploration monitoring well, number 4. And number 6, appointment of representative of the large hotel to the BTAC. I would be willing to entertain a motion. Oh, motion has been made and
seconded.
Are there any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Motion is carried 5-0. Next item on our agenda is council action items. The first council action item is an interlocal agreement for the building inspection services. Michael, is that your baby?
It is, sir. I know it's in here somewhere. There we go. This is pretty straightforward. As it says in your request for council action, for a period of time I've been working with the planning director for the city of Ferndale to try and develop an interlocal agreement between the city of Ferndale and Blaine to be able to share employees in the event of situations that might occur where there's short staffing. And ironically, the city of Linden was working on something similar with some of the other cities at the same time, and as luck would have it, they called us back in November and said, please help, because their building inspector had fallen and was out of work for a week or potentially longer, and we put together a short-term contract to assist them with building inspection services. This would effectively allow that type of thing to happen countywide with all of the small cities, so everyone except Bellingham and Whatcom County is included in this. And there would be a sharing of employee resources for building inspection services. It's one of those job responsibilities that has very specified needs in training and certifications. It's difficult for other employees to step in and fill the gap. I can attend a meeting for Raven and tell her what happened and take notes. And we can share those kinds of responsibilities pretty easily at times. Building inspection services, you have to have the certification. You have to be qualified in construction. So we find ourselves calling outside services, which is quite a bit more expensive. Right. This would allow us to share those services, and there's reimbursement included. So we get paid for services we provide from to another city.
Questions for Michael?
Michael, I have a question on page 1 of that agreement. Maybe it's just, I've never heard the word, that combination used before. Down at the bottom of the page, it says, cause a reasonable hardship.
It may be that. What is your question?
I thought it was reasonable.
I think you're right. I think there may be an edit appropriate there.
I thought quite appropriate to have a reasonable.
Yeah, if it's a reasonable hardship, you're probably supposed to do it. Do the inspections. But if it's unreasonable, you have the right to refuse.
Good catch.
And the Linden is the only one that's requesting a special arrangement on payment?
It's not so much as it's a special arrangement, I think, as that they just note that they only do bills, but you do them at each council meeting. They only do bills at one council meeting a month. So basically, if we miss their deadline, we'll wait a little longer for payment.
Any other questions? Okay, the recommendation is that the community development director authorize, well, excuse me, he recommends council authorize the city manager to sign the interlocal agreement relating to building code administration plans examination and building inspection. So moved. Motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. Are there any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Motion is carried 5-0. Next item on our agenda is employee.
That's the executive session.
So my recommendation.
Contracts following the executive session.
Until after close executive session.
Okay, so this will come up after our executive session. Okay. Next, that'll bring us to the next item on the agenda, commission, committee, and board reports. The first item is the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. David.
So just a brief update. We did meet last week. We went through the requests for proposals, both for real estate services for the Gateway property and for consulting services. We've got open now. We also had the planning department comprehensive plan element of the economic development section approved by the group. So next month, the group is going to meet and review the request for proposal statements that will hopefully come in for the real estate, which will make a recommendation to the council first meeting in March.
Okay. Thank you. Steve is not here. Bonnie, how about the Blaine Chamber of Commerce?
I did go to the meeting last week, and the speaker was Ron Spanger. He spoke on the school project and had some drawings of what's going to be happening in, over the next few years. The district project manager was also there. Knoyer is his last name. And what's his first name?
Jim
Knoyer. And it was quite interesting to see what they have planned there. There were a couple other staff members from the city there as well. So the chamber's doing well. They had a good turnout.
Thank you. WTA board, Mr. Greeno.
The executive committee will meet Thursday, 8 a.m. at the WTA headquarters. All are welcome.
Okay. Dennis, how about your three committees?
Just for the library, the Bob Melman. That concert is March 18th, and that's a fundraiser for the Flick. I think that's it.
Flick? Okay.
The other, as far as the senior center, March 10th, Michael's going to present, and I don't know if anyone else, Raven, are you going to be there for the Marine? That's going to be on the 10th.
No, sir.
Breakfast is the 20th, and then March 16th, I talked to Dan today, and that is plan to be a fundraiser for the Meals on Wheels, and they'll get more information to us.
Okay.
Boys and Girls Club, I saw Chris Fisher today. The floor is there, but it's not being installed yet. And I don't know, Dave, have you heard anything new?
This week?
It's been this week for a few weeks.
The cold weather on the East Coast got them last week, but it's supposed to be this week. We've got a grand opening next.
And Chris had a question about a door. Apparently it needs some work done on it.
Yeah, we've had a request in the public works.
Okay. Other than that, nothing going on.
Thank you, Dennis. Mr. Jones, you have two committees, planning and park and cemetery.
Nothing other than what's on the calendar, sir. Just a couple items for the Planning Commission on the 11th, which are this is the Semiahmoo Shore project, formerly known as Seagrass, and the comprehensive plan we'll be working on with the economic development chapter. And the Park and Cemetery Board also meets later this week.
Okay. Raven, how are the Public Works Advisory Committee doing?
We had a good meeting last Thursday. We covered several housekeeping items, which one of which will be bringing forward new appointments for the next 2 years for the two members whose terms are expiring. Committee members have offered to kind of help us spread the word in terms of street funding and transportation benefit districts. So I'm working on essentially just communicating what things are funded through street maintenance, and Michael and I are going to talk about what things parks, trails maintenance needs and make sure that it's an appropriate package to send out to all their different networks to hopefully get some community support.
Okay. Small Cities Caucus and Whatcom Council of Governments are going to meet later this month. No report otherwise than that. And Chief Hollander is not here, and we miss his recipe very badly.
Oh, but wait.
Yeah. Oh, we do have
Honor,
it.
I'm passing out
excited. Now. I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. Oh, Harvey Chicken, Harvest Chicken Stew.
Oh, I thought they were
going to
do that.
I saw it special. Oh, God. Okay. Well, we're all excited. Now we'll go to the next one. Department reports, Public Works.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think you've all probably heard enough on me this evening, so I'll try to keep this really short. Hopefully, Dave, you'll report on the Rail Policy Committee meeting update, but I wanted to let you know that the students are getting ready to ship out an online survey, and we're just picking up mailing lists and contacts from anybody and everybody that might be interested in rail, and I know they're going to be touching base with Bill at the Horseshoe.
North of the border?
Above the border, primarily, yeah. They're finding that it's hard to get a good sampling of Canadian ridership when they're taking the morning train back, because most of the Canadians are not going to leave that early in the morning, mm-hmm. So they're actually, we're saying, oh, shoot, we should have gone to Seattle instead of Vancouver. But in any event, we think this is going to be better than trying to interview people on the train anyway, because it's really going to go to the people. I'm working on getting the contact list from last Friday's meeting that I can send to the some really key people were there that I think would really be helpful. So anyway, they're about halfway through their term, so this is a really critical part of their report. As I indicated previously, Birch Bay Water and Sewer District, at our annual meeting, we had talked about having a joint study session to cover this kind of North County water supply. We set a tentative date for the 29th of this month. I am thinking that's probably going to get pushed out, though, just schedule-wise. We have got two things happening this Friday. We have the deadline for consultants to submit on the needs assessment, on the citywide needs assessment, and we also have applications coming in for engineering tech at Public Works, which I'll be very glad to fill soon. Two final items, the mailboxes have been all relocated, all the ones that the post office took upon themselves to move. Not to say that every mailbox meets that standard, but at least the ones that we had installed that way are now back to where they were. We confirmed that with them on Friday. And shoot, I wish I could have thanked John Sitkin, but he was his legal muscle was really what it took to get that going.
I know the one on our street was done, and that was as of Friday. But the ones on A were not done, and A and C, I think, were not done. So somehow they got ours. We only have one cluster on our street, and there's two of them side by side. And
I'll have Bill contact you.
So whether the other ones.
Because everything that was on his list, they checked off.
Okay.
Raven,
yes.
There's one down here, too.
Right on Harrison there? That wasn't on the list because it wasn't moved by them. It was just installed wrong. So I think
there's a platform for it on the right side.
All the other ones on Harrison have the little bump out concrete, and that one doesn't, though. I know, because I actually was hoping that one wouldn't. And then, as you probably know, because I think I mentioned, I went to the City Action Days the 27th through the 29th of January. and participated in that. And I have the legislative session, city priorities I'll pass out. I was going to give you an update, like a legislative update, and I think it's just a little too late in the evening for that. But if you're interested in any of the bills affecting this, let me know. And if you're interested in having a legislative update at these meetings as a part of one of our staff reports, also let me know, and that's something we can work on. It's not something that we are obviously currently doing. And then all I would say as a final to that, Mr. Mayor, I did reach out to them a little bit on the new transportation package.
Yep.
They have not yet determined how that's going to be distributed to the states, but they're pushing for the cities to get a higher percentage than normally is split between state and cities, and we'll see what happens, and I'll continue to keep you updated.
Well, I think we need to stick really closely with Vincent and Luann and Doug and make sure that they push for us.
Mr. Erickson, unfortunately, didn't have any time in his schedule, but I had a very good conversation with Representative Baez and Representative Van Morven. Representative Baez is interested in us bringing a potential East Plain project, like to help with infrastructure kind of thing, yeah, next year. Wouldn't be funded this year. Yeah. And then Representative Van Morven was intrigued with the possibility of helping us with I-274, maybe with the IJR funding to update that document. So yeah, that would be huge.
I think that's got real potential. I mean, if somebody were to push it, I think it's got potential. So
yes, sir.
Got to stay on top of that one. Okay, now I've lost my agenda now. Okay, the next item, Community Development Services.
So, council members, in your packet, you have an abbreviated version of this report, and I would love to hear your thoughts after the meeting, or you can give me a call. We've reformatted things a bit. This is the 2015 year-end development report, and we'll start off here with residential building permits. In the fourth quarter, there were three single-family residences and two duplexes and one multifamily unit. That sort of sounds like an oxymoron, one multifamily unit, but it's an apartment in a mixed-use building. So there's commercial space in the building, and then the apartment by definition is multifamily in the way that we classify those. So in total, that gives us 25 single-family homes, the four duplexes, and the one multifamily unit for the year. Last year, compared to this 30 units, we had 16. So it's a notable increase. And this is how that looks over the longer term. You can see it's the last year of the housing bubble, or the big boom that was in the earlier part of this century. And since then, kind of a much slower pace of development. Again, what we would expect to see as close to normal is around 40 building permits, and then increasing over time, obviously, as the city grows overall. So this is still a little low for us. Some of the reasons for that is the lack of available ready-to-build lots is probably the primary reason. The Lincoln Park sewer extension is to address some of those needs and to make sure that there are lots available so the city can continue to collect the taxes and the permit fees and all of those things that go along with it. So we're still a little low. Now, next year, 2016, this year, I suppose, will be better, and because the trend is improving, and the Drayton Reach project, which is down by True Value Hardware, has finally been released from bankruptcy last year, so now that's in our pool. That's some of the units that you see in 2015. There'll be more of those units in 2016. New construction is scattered around the city, as is often the case. Of note, though, is that there are 7 single-family permits and a duplex, so 9 residential units in Semiahmoo. We haven't seen 9 residential units in Semiahmoo since 2006. That's the most we have had in a decade out there. So that is fairly substantial.
Michael, isn't Carnoustie, I just heard the other day that Carnoustie is just starting development there.
There's one single family permit issued for Carnoustie.
Is that right? I thought there was more plans being planned.
There may be people planning, but they haven't come in to talk to us, okay.
Well,
ironically.
But it's good. I mean, we've got 9 going.
Hmm?
We've got 9 in there now.
Yeah, and like I said, that 9 is the largest number we've had in Semiahmoo in a decade, so that really is notable. Now, ironically, 10 years ago in 2006, there were 66 units.
Yeah.
but most of that was the Marin project, so it's a little bit artificial. That 66 is not a normal year.
Do you get to count the school?
Well, not in single-family dwelling permits, but it does show up here. The school is on there, the Blaine Primary School. The Blaine High School will show up this year, but not in 2015.
Michael, I know I don't want to get you off topic, but I noticed that property right at Semiahmoo Parkway and Drayton Harbor has just been sold. Big sold sign on it. And that's the... that piece of property was where all the commercial stuff was going to go in, the parking lot and all that. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That's just been sold. Do you know anything about who bought that?
I think the sold sign is up prematurely. I believe it's under contract, and they're doing their due diligence process now.
Okay, good.
And they have begun to coordinate with us on a plan for the property, when it's more formulated and it actually is more than hypotheticals, we'll share that.
I guess commercial would probably not be a high priority.
That's the thing, is the Semiahmoo master plan calls for commercial in that location. Yeah. It calls for quite likely a very large satellite parking lot for uses on the spit. And those uses may not be appropriate anymore.
Yeah,
that may not make sense 30 years
hence. What I'm saying is
hence.
We're probably going to have to change this.
I think that they're going to come through with something that requests some changes but addresses some of that directly as far as potentially putting in some they've already talked about some commercial. But
yeah.
Come by and talk. It's all super hypothetical at this point.
Okay, good. I just was wondering how far.
This year. Permits. They are hoping, if they can get things moving, that they may go to construction before the rainy season, go to infrastructure construction before the rainy season. That's pretty optimistic, but that's what they're hoping.
And more on Semiahmoo Shores?
Yeah, let me get through this, and I'll tell you a bit about Semiahmoo Shore status
at
the end. No, that's all right. The new building construction values, so this is not every single permit in the city. If someone re-roofs their house or adds on a small addition, those are not calculated in here, but these are commercial remodels and commercial new construction, and then all new residential construction, so new residential units. You can see that, again, residential pushes that number significantly. Next year, that'll probably be different because the high school, for 2 years, the high school will be a significant cost. We'll be looking at something like probably $20 million or $30 million just in building construction value. So that will change this chart for a couple years. But we're at about $13 million in construction value last year, which is better than 2014 and pretty much on par with 2013, which was the beginning of things getting better. Before that, if we were to look back another few years, it's much, much lower numbers because of the recession. Building permit fees, which is always an interesting number for us because it's something of a gamble. We can't generate these fees. We can't cause people to come in and request permits, but we actually were almost dead on. Kudos to Jeff on that with the land development and building permits. We're very close to actual in the budget. Miscellaneous building permits, this is all the other things, plumbing, mechanical, re-roofing, and such, and those are here. So as compared to 2015 and 2014, the number continues to rise. Building inspections, again, continuing to rise. That number up around 150 was pretty typical, what we had seen for a while, and up to 223 in the fourth quarter of 2015. And as we see more housing units coming in for construction, we can expect that to rise as well. To 621 total inspections last year for the building department. The vested land use applications, now these are things that are proposing development of land. It could be as simple as someone moving their property line, it could be someone dividing one piece of property into two, or it could be someone coming in for a 150-unit subdivision. There's a tremendous range of scale on these. As you can see, as is typical, the majority of them is administrative, so we handle them at the staff level. Approval authority actually is vested with me in most of those. And so you don't see those, and the Planning Commission doesn't see those. And then those that go to the Planning Commission, most of those also come to City Council. The ones that we have noted here, 2015, there are three that are City Council permits. Those are ones where you had the final authority on those. Or excuse me, I was saying that in reverse. The three that came to you also went to Planning Commission. So there were eight that were final approval authority at Planning Commission. They heard those and passed them on to you. Three of those were final approval at City Council. This is a very difficult map to read. We are struggling with how to make it more readable, but when you're looking at a whole year's worth of land use actions, it's just a lot of stuff. And it takes a long time to put these maps together, so we are looking at options on how to do that. It's all range of things. The lighter colored ones are type 2 permits, meaning those are not administrative. They're either Planning Commission or City Council approval. And we'll just go through those real quickly. Mountain Estates subdivision has been to Planning Commission. That will come to you probably at your next meeting, and that is a subdivision just north of Lincoln Park. The high school and the middle and the primary school both needed conditional use permits. Those were heard by the Planning Commission and approved. Drayton Reach lot variance, lot 25 variance, that was at the Planning Commission. That was approved, ironically, across the street. Baldwin Place variance, for different reason, different request, was denied by the Planning Commission. And then Seagrass Cottages lot 2 was a shoreline substantial development permit for the unit that's under construction now. So if you've been out on the spit, or even if you've just been in my neighborhood and looked across, you can see it going up there. The Semiahmoo Shore PUD amendment, because these list projects that were vested in 2015, even though it's going to Planning Commission Thursday, it shows up here as a vested application. And then the community center pavilion needed a conditional use permit, a variance, and a site plan review, so that was a discretionary permit. All the rest of those that are up there were administrative, rather small projects generally. I'm going to hand this off to Raven, but I will give you a summary of Semiahmoo Shore, formerly known as Seagrass, just so you have a sense of where they're at with that. That project is, as I said, at the Planning Commission for a public hearing on Thursday. The applicant is proposing to, as you already know from it coming through as a comprehensive plan amendment, reduce the project density from 68 units to 62 units. And the other change that they're making is to change it from mostly fourplex units to all duplex units except for the one larger building that they're allowed to build, which could have 16 units in it. That is not proposed at this time. They have no real plans to do the 16-plex now. But the 23 duplexes are all, except for the one that was already approved, is part of the PUD amendment that's being heard. Most of those are in shoreline jurisdiction, but not all of them. So about 15 of them are in for the shoreline substantial development permit now also. The PUD vests and lasts forever unless it changes, because they've already built the infrastructure and the roads are on the ground there, so it becomes a permanent land use entitlement. The shoreline permit is only valid for 5 years. So if they don't get all of the duplexes that are in shoreline jurisdiction built in 5 years, they may be back for a new shoreline permit. Their schedule is aggressive enough that that's not going to be an issue. From what they're telling us, they already have something in the vicinity of 8 to 10 units pre-reserved. They can't really sell them because that's not legal since they don't exist. It's like selling someone swampland in Florida. But they're wanting to go to construction on at least 6 duplexes this summer. So it's a pretty significant investment out there. Those units are, I'm pretty sure, probably about $1 million in construction value for each pair. So it's a notable investment in the community and in the SPIT. And it's nice to see something happening, especially something that's been approved and has been able to be built for years and years, sitting out there with roads and water connections and sewer connections waiting to be activated. But that's the status of Semiahmoo Shore. We're trying hard to remember to call it Semiahmoo Shore instead of Seagrass.
Thank you, Michael, for letting me sneak in on the end here. Again, like Michael said, if you're not finding this of value, we could change it and modify it in whatever way, but this is one of the things that we've reported to you each year, looking at trends and where all those customer service requests come from and to and so forth. Also a little bit of a trending over time. And so I think the one really significant trend over time is they just all seem to be going a little bit in the decline. So that tells me that we're doing a good job without people calling the phone asking for things. So I think that's good. The street is still the highest one, but as you could see before we moved into this building, city properties was the highest one. So that's really stabilized things, I think, being in a newer building, and hopefully all this ESCO work that we're still doing is in just improving things in general for everything.
Michael, could I just ask you a question? How are we making out on our projects to work on the city, you know what I'm saying, buildings and demolishing buildings and sending out warning letters and all that. How are we making out on that?
Thank you for bringing that up. I actually can pull something up on my computer and give you a little bit more information, so let me go and move over there.
I'd like to see that as a monthly report, if you could, you know, maybe some indication as to how many letters were out and how much money was spent.
Yeah, that's my intention, sir, is that in the beginning of the process it will be a monthly report. As yeah. I mentioned last time we talked about it, we are in a hiring process, and I can yeah. The first thing I'll report is that we have a new employee starting on the 18th. So that will be obviously a huge help. We're able to find someone who has experience in code enforcement and has been doing that as part of their job for about a year. She's a relatively new person in the workforce, but she seems to be very qualified and has some energy, so that'll be nice to see someone on board helping us with that. Just to give you a sense of things, this is a little bit dated, this information. It wasn't prepared for tonight. This is from a little while back. In 2015, we had 56 complaints for nuisance-related issues. Of those, 19 of them were external complaints. So 37 of them were generated by us, basically by driving around and saying, that's an issue, that's an issue, that's an issue. Because we were working through the process of revising our code and only adopted that late in the year, and as we talked, we haven't really had staffing available for this. Most of those have not been acted on. A number of them have received notifications that said your property is potentially a violation, but we haven't started enforcement action against them. In 18 of them have been sent those notices, and we've made some progress on a couple of those, and some of the more recent ones that we received, we've already sent out some notice letters kind of at the beginning of this year, taking a little bit of a different effort. So we have quite a bit of work to do on that, but we have a good start with when the person's in here in the office later in the month. They're going to basically have a list of here's the steps to take and here's the properties to start with.
I think it would be helpful if we could see sort of the progression.
Yeah.
Now, here's the first notice, second notice, third notice. Now we're getting no response.
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly what we'll be able to show is, you know, how many properties are in progress, how many are at this stage, how many are at that stage, and hopefully how many have been resolved.
Yeah. Eric, yes, Dennis.
Michael, are there any of those individuals that just came forward and took care of the problem without notification?
Without notification? No.
Okay.
No. I mean, typically we wouldn't even... Like, they wouldn't necessarily know, I presume maybe they wouldn't even know something was wrong unless you sent them a notice. They might just assume the condition was acceptable. But
I was just thinking that there's been quite a bit of information that came out at the time these were adopted. And I was just wondering if there was any effect of that, people just coming forward and saying, taking care of the situation.
I would imagine out there probably are some people that have cleaned things up maybe as a result of that, but the reality is what we'll have to do is all of these that we inspected in the sort of like fall of last year, we'll have to go back out and re-inspect, and we may find that some of those people have resolved their issues. But most of these, I would say of the 37 that were generated internally by staff, we're going to find that's not the case. Some of them we drive by every day, and we know they're still there. And some of them have been there for years. Some of them have been there for a decade. So they're not going to suddenly go out and clean up because they read something in the newspaper. That's not what's going to happen. But I do have a lot of confidence that things will change pretty dramatically, pretty quickly.
You know, Michael, I was looking at some stuff on the Internet, and I noticed a number I've noticed that there are a couple of cities that have had campaigns like Make Blaine Beautiful or Do Your Part to Make Blaine Beautiful. And all of their employees wore T-shirts that said, you know, help us make Blaine beautiful. And maybe that's one of the things that your code enforcer should give some consideration to. I think it would have to be worked with the chamber. But it would be nice to see us get out. All the businesses in town could put up a little sign that said, you know, we're doing our part to make Blaine beautiful. The public relations, I think, would be helpful.
Yeah, a proactive approach or a pro-cleanliness approach rather than a anti-dirtiness approach has a real positive effect and a positive message. We can certainly look into things like that. As you know, we've had cleanup days in the past. Yeah. We've had downtown cleanup days. Been different things like that. There's the Blaine is Beautiful program for yards. Yeah. So we take some steps in that direction, but more comprehensive approach.
If we could get the businesses, people just to put a little sign up that says, you know, we've done our part to make it beautiful. You know, just get it out so people walking down the street will see, hey, clear the city is trying to do something. Maybe we should help.
We can give that some thought. I will say I think we'll focus on law-related issues first, and that may be something we develop.
I'm just saying if you look on the Internet, you can see that a number of cities really went out of the way to have a really aggressive campaign.
Right.
So that's something to think about.
I have a question, Mr. Jones. Yes. The shopping center remodel, have they done that yet? I haven't seen anything that they've done.
No, it's not listed in here. As one of the items?
It says shopping center remodel.
On your map.
On the map that we have, which was different than the one you had up there.
Oh, that was internal. That was like not a facade change. It was an interior remodel. I can't remember which business it was for. Might have been the physical therapy office.
Okay. We got one down in Peace Portal, too, in that West Marine building.
Right.
Somebody's taken over about three-quarters of it. That's good to see.
Okay, next, Public Safety, Chief Heslop.
I can defer until the next meeting, Your Honor. Unless there's something if there are particular subjects that you'd like to discuss, sir.
I will ask the council members if there's anything that The consensus is to defer, so. Okay, next item is our illustrious Mr. City Manager.
So I'm going to ask for a little deferral tonight, too. We've got actually Cara Turner here tonight to meet with you in an executive session. And so before you guys drop off, not saying you might or you will, but it's getting late. And so several things we have to do in executive session tonight. It's going to take us a little bit of time. So I just want to make a couple reports. One is we did meet with the state of Washington on the Rail Policy Committee. A couple of council members attended that with me, Ms. Anya and Mr. Robinson. Raven was on the video through the internet, as well as many, many others, including several from Canada, who attended personally to the meeting. And the takeaway, and you guys can report as well, was that this is a very difficult, complex, expensive proposition that the state of Washington is crafting to try to figure out how to add stations, but I think underlying it is closed stations. And there were cities that were at that meeting because they were worried about their stations being closed. And so at the very end of the meeting, I suggested that perhaps they know what they want, that the cities would just pay them relative to the cost of the study rather than us trying to reinvent the wheel, trying to find consultants who can meet their objectives and standards. And you know, I think we're going to follow that up again with a phone call this week. They were very interested in that idea. They hadn't considered that they could run reports to set up outcomes based on their standard that would be funded outside of their agency. That may be the most cost-effective and quickest solution that we could ever come up with. So we'll follow up on that idea. That doesn't get to the question of how do you close stations. That's still a very sticky problem for them. And apparently they're looking at it, at least one. And I imagine there's others along the rail that are not productive. When you, particularly when you look at the corridor down through King County, Pierce County, and Snohomish County, there are stations that are just not producing ridership. So I think that's what they're looking at trying to change. So there's many other things. I've got to tell you, the most important thing we've been working on is Vista Terrace. That community has been very outspoken. They're strong opinions, as you've seen tonight in other meetings. I want to applaud the council for stepping up and listening and really putting some thought into what it's possible to do to try to mitigate some of the circumstances that are occurring up there. You know, these are oftentimes we deal with developers and big projects and money coming in and all of those things. And this is a real situation where our citizens, real people that live here, have honest and just concerns. And I think the council is doing a good job of listening, of trying to debate amongst yourselves when the time comes about how best to approach this. I would say that it is one of the things that we do under life and health safety, under the police powers of the city, is to look after the long-term benefit. And some of that includes roads, police services, public work services, all the things that we do. And so we're doing the right thing by moving forward with that project. But by thinking it through financially, you might be able to come up with some solutions to help offset some of that demand that system is now placing on that community. So I think we need to keep thinking about it, noodling it. There were some good ideas that came out tonight. And we'll come back with a lot more information as we close the project up and are more specific about the costs. And my suggestion to the council is when we get to ready for that point, give yourselves adequate time. Don't rush through the public hearing process. If you're feeling like you're not getting the information you need or you need more time to consider, you've got time to do that. So we'll keep that on our calendar. I don't anticipate any more public meetings for a while. I didn't sense from the community tonight they're asking for more, but I think they're really asking for time when the public hearing starts. We'll make sure everybody gets notified at least once, if not twice, about those meetings. It will be in the newspaper. There's other things we can do to make sure the message is out there. So, any questions or comments?
The only comment I would have, and David did, I think we're going to need time after the public hearing. Probably going to need a study session or study session.
Oh, sure.
Because mm-hmm. we're really going to have to. I want to give the people the opportunity to voice their objections or opinions or whatever they have, and I think we're getting a pretty good taste of that now. And so I think we'll be ready to get into the study sessions once we have the next public hearing.
Yes.
Is that good?
That was good. Yes. Okay. I agree.
Okay. Now we have calendar dates. Are there any changes or modifications?
Just remember the Bide de Blaine next Monday 15th. Night, the 15th at 6 o'clock. Very fun event.
Okay.
$25 a person.
Okay. Now, are there any unfinished business? Is there any council new business? Hearing none, we are now going to break for executive session. We're doing so at 8:42. And how long do we anticipate being out?
15 for her, 15 for me.
Half an hour. And do we expect any council action? Yes. We do. So there will be council action after that. I will break now for the executive session. You're welcome to stay in the audience until our return. But if you have more important things to do, please feel free to do them.